Now, when you understand the fullness of grace, do you think Rod goes out and goes, oh, that's cool, and goes back to his office and starts stealing paper clips again? You don't know Rod. He probably would. No, he will be a model employee. And if someone said, hey, I don't like this company, he would be the first one to stand up and say, no, 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 no. No, no, don't you talk bad about this company. No, this company has given me grace.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Easter Sunday a few years ago, a message on the grace of God. A lot of us seem to have an idea what grace is all about, has something to do with forgiveness or getting a second chance. But today, Pastor Wayne will show us the enormous cost God paid. He bankrupted heaven to offer us grace. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Grace of God.
The word grace is almost on the endangered vocabulary list. I don't know if you saw recently how they're trying to ban certain vocabulary words from the public schools. And it's just crazy. But there's a word that I don't think we really understand nor define well. It's the word grace. We define it poorly. I remember in Bible college, we defined it as the unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor of God. Four words. And there was a test. So they said, what is grace? Unmerited favor of God. Correct. Now we move on. I said, later on, as I grew in Christ and I began to understand grace, it's like, no, it's so much more. You can't just define something so in a cavalier fashion. It's like, that's it. We got it down. That makes for a veneer of faith, not a depth of faith. Grace. Do you understand God's grace and how he bankrupted heaven for people like you and me that were on an ever-tightening spiral into a blackened vortex called hell? And we deserved death, but God's grace, who was innocent, exchanged his life for ours. Sometimes we take it for granted, and I think, oh, if we'd only understand grace. We define things so poorly, like the word love. The word friendship or commitment or character. Well, we don't define it well. And that's why we live a veneer of life rather than the depth of life. Oh, I want us to stop and just understand the fullness of grace today, because that's what Easter's all about. If you look above me, you'll see the cross. That's kind of a trademark of New Hope. Whenever we gather in a large place like this, I say, please make that cross, and you can put lights on it, whatever, but I want us to be under the cross of Christ. And then Easter, where God exchanged his life, and Easter is where God gave us grace. And if we'll understand that, it will change your life forever. I don't want to define it in a shallow fashion, because we misperceive it. I remember a wife that just misperceived a definition or a diagnosis. Her husband was so listless and bent over, bowed over, and he was not that old. And he was like he couldn't breathe. He was not motivated, lacked energy. It was like he was just ready to die. And so the wife said, I'm taking you to the doctor. She was kind of a burly woman, a little kind of a driver type A. Come on, she said, let's go to the doctor. Something's wrong with you. And so she took him to the doctor, and the doctor realized there's something wrong with this man and gave him a battery of tests, took tons of blood tests from him, went through the lab reports, did an MRI, full body MRI, and finally brought them both into the office, and he said, I think I found out what's wrong, but ma'am, could I speak to you alone, and would it be all right if your husband just waited in the car? She said, Harry, go wait in the car. So he just kind of slowly shuffled out to the car. And while he was in the car, the doctor said to the woman, ma'am, your husband's going to die if something doesn't change. She said, what's wrong with him? He said, I know this sounds dumb, the doctor said, but he's dying of a lack of love. She said, love? What are you talking about? Well, because he doesn't have love, he's just losing motivation for life. His organs are shutting down. His psyche's shutting down. She said, well, what do I do? He said, well, what you have to do, ma'am, is when he comes home, take his shoes off, put slippers on him, get behind him in the easy chair, massage him, rub his head, give him a head massage, kiss him, tell him you love him. She said, love him? If he deserves it, I'll tell him. He said, no, just tell him you love him. Give him some hugs, show him some love. So she walks out to the car, sits behind the wheel, and the husband said, honey, what did the doctor say? She said, the doctor said, you're going to die. We can misdefine what we're trying to do here. Misperceive it, and often God gives us grace, and it's like, well, that's nothing. No, it's huge. I want to give you two stories so you can maybe understand God's grace and how it changes life if you understand the power of grace. Let's say I was running a large corporation, and Pastor Rod, who did the announcements, let's say he was working for me, and I gave him a very high position in this company, but I found that there was money missing. Money was being pilfered to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. So I hid these little security cameras, and one was in Rod's area. And sure enough, I start recording Rod, and he's stealing stuff every day. He's stealing a laptop. He steals another laptop. Paper clips go into his pocket, pens, pencil, stationery. He even tried to take his desk chair home. Why, his pockets were just full of stuff every day going home. Day after day, week after week. This went over a year and a half and tens of thousands of dollars missing. I call in a prosecuting attorney and I show him the film and I said, what do I do? He says, you got to prosecute. Otherwise, your insurance won't give you this money back. You're going to go bankrupt. You have to. Otherwise, you will lose this money. You've got to put this evidence up front. Otherwise, there will be no insurance, no recourse on your part. You got to prosecute. So I call the police. He brings the handcuffs. I call Rod into my office. Pastor Rod, come in. I said, Rod, have you been stealing money? Oh, no. I said, you know, I put surveillance cameras all over the building. I said, because Christians are working here. He said, no, I didn't steal anything. I take my remote, click, click, watch this. And he sees himself stealing money, stuffing it in his pocket, in his shirt, his bibbidis, his every place. And he hangs his head and he says, that's me, I'm so sorry. I just needed money and I didn't know what to do, I'm so sorry. I said, Rod, why didn't you ask? I know, I'm so sorry. I said, because you've been doing this for so long, my insurance is forcing me to prosecute you. Otherwise, we're going to go bankrupt. There's a policeman waiting outside, and you'll be arraigned and sentenced. He starts to weep. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, oh, so am I. But you need to go. You're let go. Please, please go. He walks down the hallway and his heart is broken. The policeman is waiting there. And then I go out and I say, hey, Rod, sir, can I talk with Rod again? He said, sure. So I bring Rod in. I said, Rod, listen, I love you so much and I see your repentance. And, you know, I love your wife and your family and you're the breadwinner. And if you're put away, you're done. And so are they. So you know what I'm going to do? Because I see your heart, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you grace. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, it includes forgiveness. Oh, thank you. But not only that, grace goes beyond forgiveness. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the fullness of grace. I'm going to restore you back to your position. What? That's right. And I'm going to give you back your pay, and I'm going to give you back your benefits and your insurance and everything, because I'm not just going to give you forgiveness, I'm going to give you the fullness of grace. You're a different person. You go now not as an employee, you go under grace. You're not living under deservedness. From this moment on, you live under what? Grace. Now, when you understand the fullness of grace, do you think Rod goes out and goes, oh, that's cool, and goes back to his office and starts stealing paper clips again? You don't know Rod. He probably would. No. Yeah, no. No, he will be a model employee. And if someone said, hey, I don't like this company, he would be the first one to stand up and say, no. No, our boss is a boss of great grace. This is one of the best companies in the world. They care about us. They love us. They understand us. No, don't you talk bad about this company. No, this company has given me grace. When you understand the grace that God has given to you, it changes your life. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, listen, it's for by grace you have been saved, not of yourselves. In other words, you can't perform good enough. You are saved through grace. That's what we call faith. And that's a gift of God. And the word saved is the word sozo in the Greek, which means you're made whole. You are made complete. The person God wants you to be is only through grace. Let me give you a more poignant illustration. Let's say I was arraigned as a serial murderer because I murdered so many people multiple times, and they took me to sentence me in court, but they didn't just give me a sentence in prison, they sentenced me to the death chamber. So I am on death row waiting for a lethal injection. When let's say my son Aaron pleads with the judge, pleads with the jury, saying, sir, if my dad receives the death sentence, our whole family is gone because we can't support ourselves. One man dies, we all die. There's five deaths. Instead, please, I know the sentence has to be paid. Please let me pay the sentence and let him go free so at least we save four people rather than put to death five. Please. Now the judge says, no, son, you're innocent. He's the guilty one. I know, but the penalty has to be paid. Please let me do that. And let's just say, for the sake of discussion, the judge says, all right. And the day comes when I'm walking down the cold and clammy gray hallway of gloom towards that lone chair, spotlighted. And there's leather straps to strap my forearms down so a doctor can plunge in the syringe and the toxins that will drain my life. And as I walk, a side door opens and the judge enters with my son. And I begin to say, stop, what is this? I refute what's going on. The judge says, sir, Mr. Cordero, we're going to make an exchange. No, I'm sorry, we've already made the decision. No, your son is going to pay the penalty for you. And I begin to scream, no, it is I who deserve it, not him. I'm sorry, the exchange has already been made. And it doesn't matter how much I scream and how much I fight. They strap him down instead of me. And a doctor comes out. And in it holds the toxins that's about to end the life of my son. And just before he plunges it into his vein, he stops and he says, you know, Mr. Cordero, the doctor says, it's not my sin that's causing this young man to die. It's yours. So we're going to have you inject him. And let's say, with my trembling hands, they force that syringe into my palm and I press it in and I depress that plunger and watch the hopes and the dreams of my son fade away. Oh, not with acrimony. He doesn't look at me with anger. He looks at me with love. glad to do it. But then all of his hopes and dreams and purpose in life of this young man is gone. And I retrieve that plunger, and with shaking hands, I drop the syringe and it shatters on the floor. And I weep uncontrollably. But then at the same time, the judge says, "Mr. Cordero, you are now free to go." And they open the door. And I say, "I can't. I just stole his dreams. I took his hopes, the purposes and the potentiality of this young man. I have dashed." "No," says the judge. "The transfer has been made, and now you can take his hopes and you can take his dreams and you can live them for him." And you see, when I walk out of that prison, I say, "You know, your hopes have to live through me now, because I took them. Your dreams, may they live through me. Your purposes that I stole because of my sin, let them live through me, because an exchange has been made so that I can live. And you that should have gave that to me through your death." You see, that's exactly what God did to his son Jesus, that was my sins for which he died on the cross. And then on Easter, he says, "Now go. Live my dreams. Live my hopes." And if you understand the fullness of grace, if you understand that you have been saved through grace, then when you walk out of here, you're saying, "God, live your dreams through me, because I deserve hell. I deserve death." The Bible says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. But God says, "No, Wayne, I'm going to make the great exchange this universe has ever seen, and I am going to give you life and freedom, for you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that's why Galatians 2:20 comes into play, and it says this: "For I have been crucified with Christ, and now it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." And so now the life I live is not my own. It's by grace. So that's why the Bible calls us a people of grace. Oh, not a cheap grace. A very, very costly grace. But with love, not with acrimony, not with anger, the Lord, even from the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he gives you grace. And when you leave by saying, "Lord, would you live your dreams through me?" Ah, now you're understanding grace. "Lord, would you live your purpose through me? Lord, would you live your hopes through me?" Now you're understanding grace. And God says, "That's why I died. Not for us to use him as a rabbit's foot or a bellhop for our business, but to understand that we're a people of grace." And when we leave, we say, "Lord, live that through me." Now, husbands, I say, if you understand the fullness of God's grace, you'll get up in the morning and say, "God, what do you want to say to my wife? Would you say that through me so that your words live through me? What do you want to say to my children, Lord? Could you run those words through me?" And then, fathers, when you speak to your kids, they're not hearing a fleshly man of anger. They're hearing the words of God through their dad. And then you start drawing people to him. That's why the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men so they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's what makes us ambassadors for Christ. Don't forget who you are. We're a people of grace. And moms, the same way. "God, what are you saying to my daughter? Would you say it through me? Lord, what are you saying to my husband? Would you say it through me? What are you saying to our coworkers, to this community? Those of you that are in the Senate or legislature or in government, Lord, what are you saying about our country, about our land, about our state? Would you say it through me? Would you accomplish it through me?" And God is saying, "Now you're understanding that I put you here in Hawaii to be a people who understand the fullness of the grace of God." then we get it. That's what Easter's all about. And that's why we brought this testimony, so you understand grace. And the love of God that holds us, even when we're working things through, until we come to the full understanding of grace. And then it transforms us forever. Grace isn't cheap. It's not thin or shallow. But it's something powerful that'll change your life forever. And that's why he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, so that you will have a future and a hope, because you understand the fullness of my grace. Wow. If you've never opened your heart to Christ to receive that exchange, I'm going to ask you to do that today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because it starts with you opening your heart and saying, Lord, I do understand the exchange. And I receive the forgiveness. And I receive new life. Because I should be there. But I receive your life in me. Come live in me. Live through me. And as I go as a new person. That's why 2 Corinthians says this. If any man or woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. A what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But who lives in you? Christ. And that's what it means to be born again. That you have a new beginning. But you live as a person who understands the fullness of grace. You're a people of grace. But you have to say yes to that. Because God will never force truth down your throat. He didn't mine and He won't yours. See, God made His decision about you 2,000 years ago on the cross. And then on Easter to give us grace, allow us to be a people of grace. 2,000 years ago, He made His decision. Today is yours. Oh, Wayne, but I'm 2,000 miles away from Christ. Yeah, Christ will take every step of the way to close that gap, except the last step. That last step is yours. You're one step away from being a person who understands the fullness of God's grace, so that He lives in you and is changing you from the inside out. And that's where I'm going to ask you in just a moment to make a decision for Christ, the name of Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Well, when I ask you, just raise your hand. Say, Lord, that's me. I need that exchange. God knows I need forgiveness. God knows I need a second chance. You say, but Wayne, why do we have to raise our hand? Well, God can see your heart right there, but I tell you, you need to see yourself do this. Because you got to say to yourself, I'm pulling the trigger. I'm not just thinking about it. I'm saying yes, and I want God to see my action of faith. Because the Bible says faith without action is dead. We can start off a dead faith, a still birth. You know, there's a lot of Christians that become Christians, but it's like a still birth. Because they're just kind of being real quiet about it. No way, man. When I was born, I cried my head off. I let everybody know I was born. And same is with you. So I let heaven know it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And the exchange is made, and God gives you grace because you say yes. So if you've never opened your heart, do so today. Would you bow your heads with me, and we're going to give you that opportunity. But let's all pray this together. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. And change me. Help me to know the fullness of your grace. I receive you as Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, hey, welcome these who said yes. to Jesus.
You've just heard a message on the grace of God given on Easter Sunday a few years ago by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Hope is alive. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.